Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Today, we visit one of Paris's many overlooked architectural treasures, the Orgue de Flandre, a musically inspired set of post-war buildings nestled deep in the northeastern part of the city. Monocle's Charlie Filmacourt spoke to Raphael Bideau-Waddington, a local artist, writer and researcher, to find out more about this unique part of the Parisian skyline.
Take a walk down the Avenue de Flandre in Paris's 19th arrondissement, and you'll be met with surroundings that you wouldn't associate with your typical Parisian boulevard. In place of the much-adored Haussmannian architecture is something a little more modern, a little more austere. In fact, emerge from one of the Avenue's many metro stations and you're more likely to feel like you were in Berlin as opposed to the French capital. One set of buildings that personifies this unique mélange of architecture are the Orgue de Flandre, a hulking set of towers that are instantly noticeable for their striking angular shapes. Raphael Bideau-Waddington is an artist and author whose apartment and studio looks out onto this extraordinary but lesser-known part of the Parisian skyline. I spoke to her about both the history and the role of these unique structures and began by asking her how they got their rather strange name.
The building has really the shape of an organ, like, you know, those giant musical instruments in churches. So it's really like a very literal use of the name, like the Les Orgues de France, the organ of Flandre, which is like a northern region of France and Belgium. And it looks like the instrument, and the building itself is inspired by musical movements. So you have like the sonate, because there is four or five buildings together. It's like a micro city. So each of the towers have a musical name also, but Les Orgues, it's very literal use of the name. It is still a social housing, and apparently it was built in the late 70s. The architect is Martin Schulz von Trick. He's a German architect. And La Cité, the city, it was replacing another one, which was called Cité des Flamands, the Flemish city.
Now, it isn't just the Avenue de Flandre that possesses this rather un-Parisian aesthetic, but much of the 19th arrondissement. According to Bideau-Waddington, much of this is down to rebuilding in the post-war years that saw numerous social housing projects developed in this part of the city.
This part of Paris, the 19th arrondissement, is a part of Paris which is already somehow at the periphery in regards to the center of the city, and we're pretty close to the peripheric. And this part of Paris has been massively rebuilt in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's still being built with really important urban design projects. So it's true that it has a very different urban atmosphere and architecture than the center of Paris. Like, there is very little Haussmannian buildings. Paris has this core of architecture with Haussmannian style, but otherwise there is a very strong tradition of supporting architecture of all epochs in Paris, even in the suburbs. So when I say that Les Orgues are part of the cultural patrimony and the cultural capital of Paris, it clearly is. It's more that foreigners tend to visit the center of Paris and do not come so much in the outskirts of Paris, even less in the suburb. But yes, it's more, you know, the cliché of Paris that are so strong that people keep on being interested in its own caricature, I would say.
One of Paris's main allures will always be its famous skyline. This is due in large part to strict planning and height restrictions on new buildings, allowing you to observe the great landmarks from viewpoints across the city with remarkable ease. It also means, unlike most vast urban centres, that towers and tall buildings are few and far between, with a few exceptions to this rule proving particularly unpopular with Parisians anyway. The Orgue de Flandre are no different and are not looked upon favourably by everyone, although this is beginning to change.
I think now there is a proper recognition that there is an architectural signature, so the building is worth being kept and it's part of the patrimony and the cultural assets of the city. So now I think there is a full recognition of that cultural value of the buildings, then they still remain in the aesthetic of those housing prospects. The building has been entirely renovated not that long ago, so it's kind of like fresher, but it still has that feeling of sometimes insecurity or dodginess, and so there is different viewpoint on the building. I think you might have parishioners saying they like very much the building, but then you have people who are living inside who are suffering from insecurity, or some of the building are still quite deteriorated. So, you know, you might have like very mixed feeling about those buildings for sure.
Personally, for Bido Waddington, the Orgue de Flandre hold a special place in her heart. With a studio window that gazes onto the buildings, they offer a welcome break from typical Parisian architecture, providing an important source of daily creative inspiration and something just, well, a little different.
I really like that neighborhood. I really like to have that kind of urban landscape. I think it creates a very unusual skyline for a Parisianer to have the Orgue, but in the surrounding, there is quite a few other towers and 70s building and 80s buildings, which has a quite extravagant architectural style. So I find it extremely exciting and inspiring somehow to have that landscape.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Charlie Fillmore Court for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.